traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune. One kid helps pay the rent. One could end up going to prison. One just might be president.
Truth warrior, woke destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Randy Tobler Show on News Talk STL. That's 101.9 94.1. Jerome over there making sure things are going well, telling me the cameras are a little bit different today, so Jerome might be a little zoomed in. Is that right, Jerome? I get a little better look at Jerome. There you go.
Yeah. And so whenever we're not here, man, the gremlins, they just like to mess with our equipment, don't they?
I know. I think it's probably the Iranians getting ready for an attack. I don't know. The Iranians may be getting ready for an attack on Israeli installations around the world. The U.S. sending a warning to them, according to the reporting in the Wall Street Journal, that they are not going to. We did not ask when we sent a message to the Iranians. We did not ask, quote, do not use the Israeli strike as a pretext to attack the U.S. personnel and facilities. Things are heating up in the Mideast. Things are heating up in the oil markets. You've seen that when you go to fill up the gas tank. We'll be talking with Waleed Faris at 8:25. You won't want to miss that interview because Waleed has been a longstanding proponent of a more aggressive stance towards Iran, the hegemonic power there in the Middle East that has really had an indirect and sometimes a direct control on American lives, certainly treasure and often blood over there through their proxy Hezbollah, other outposts throughout the area, and proxy terrorist groups. So we'll talk with Waleed about that. Virginia Cruda, of course, at 7:45. At 7:05, we'll be talking with Steve Gorham, who is a climate change skeptic, to say the least, and he actually claims that the whole green energy hoax is going to be collapsing on its the weight of itself. We're beginning to see that. The auto manufacturers, under the pressure of poor EV sales, are changing to a hybrid model. Ford, the latest one to do that. We'll be unpacking that with Steve in his latest book on that. And at 6:25, can't wait to talk to Mike Ferguson. Haven't checked in with Mike in a while. As you know, the polls are unfolding to show the latest Wall Street Journal poll. We're going to talk with Mike about that. Showing some pretty good margins for Donald Trump in the battleground states. The only one where he and Joe Biden are tied in a face-to-face runoff, a two-person runoff, is in Wisconsin. No surprise there. Liberal Wisconsin, certainly in 2016, I think Donald Trump shook up the American media. In fact, the world was shaken when Wisconsin, Michigan went his way over Hillary. Wasn't that way again, however, 4 years later. And so we'll see what happens as time goes on. Joe Biden and his wife continuing to deny their poll deniers. That's what they are. They're just poll deniers. They accuse people on the right, sensible, common sense folks that say, hey, climate change may be real. Not a whole lot we can do about much of it. Those are the ebbs and flows of the earth as it goes around the sun, as it wobbles on its axis. We've talked about that. The science of climate change, as opposed to the rhetoric and the hysteric of climate change. Speaking of the pole wobbling and the earth around the sun, big solar eclipse coming up, of course, on Monday. We're going to be, I think, in the St. Louis area, probably what, about a 95-ish% totality? Is that what you've heard, Jerome, give or take?
Yeah, I heard that sadly we're not going to get the full effect of it, but there are two great viewing spots if anybody has the time to go down to Cape Girardeau. I heard that that's going to be one. And then Southern Illinois near Carbondale, I believe, is the next spot that's closest that would have like the full effect. But sadly, we're in the 90 to 95% range.
Yeah. Still, it'll be very, very impressive. And I think that I hope you get your ISO, get your ISO or your AA, I think it's AASA glasses. I will post, make a note to Randy here, post on the show page. We will do that. Well, there's a great NASA site on there on, of course, a little advice on how to safely view the eclipse. But also for you nerds out there, the types who, like Jerome and I, like to build Heathkit radios. And do you ever build a Heathkit radio? You're too young for that. You don't know Heathkit, do you?
No, it sounds like a lot of fun, though. What is it?
Well, when I was a kid, we would, I still have probably six or seven shortwave radios around the house. But before that, even, you could buy a place called Heathkit, and Radio Shack was the same. You could buy kits where you could build a crystal radio that with the old, when you have listening to AM, and you would manually tune it, you know, with a little slider or a little potentiometer, you know, it was fabulous.
Wow.
And it's just awesome to think that in those days, before we had all the technology and the digital chips and everything we had, we could, you could actually build a radio and hear, you know, far off signals. It was quite mysterious. And I think that's what probably got me so engaged and so enthralled with radio. I used to love listening to the shortwave. I would string a long wire antenna, and you'd have to tune it to the frequency length because you had different frequency bands, the 7 meter band, the 12 meter band, whatever. I don't even remember them anymore. But you'd tune it to that, and you'd, from the corner of the house, Dad hated because I put the screw, the eye screw into the corner of the fascia, all the way out to the tallest tree. And then you'd have a lead wire that would come in. It would be the equivalent of a FM wire that would come in and go to the radio. And then you could hear Radio Cuba, Radio Moscow, Radio Beijing, Radio Australia. Now, you can hear it, you know, online. Speaking of online, many people and more people are either streaming us on Facebook, on YouTube, right? Are we back on YouTube?
So this week, temporarily, for 1 week only, we are back on YouTube. We have Rumble, we have the Twitter, and we have Facebook.
Okay. And I don't know if we know who the culprit was. We'll ask Mike Ferguson if he and Stell and Gabe had anything to do with that in the morning, whether Ferguson in the morning was the reason for that. I don't know, but we'll see with that at 6:25. It's become a bit of a badge of courage, not to see who purposely can get us thrown off of one or the other, but, you know, it's like we are real conservative talk radio. We are not fearful of the machine. We are not fearful of the Biden regime and their proxy censorship through social media.
Yeah, when a site with such egregious censorship and bias, such as YouTube, is constantly kicking us off for speaking the truth, you know we're doing something right.
That's right. Yep. Well, what are you afraid of, YouTube? Come on, bring it on. Just bring on some liberal voices. Bring on some of those celebrities, some of the air so-called talent on Air America, that failed liberal talk radio network years ago. It failed because the message is a failure. Just ask Lenin, ask Stalin, ask Mussolini. Ask, you know, all of the despots through the years. Socialism never wins out over the long term, although it is now probably here. We've got some sad news in the polling, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But there are Americans who are saying that, in fact, let's play that now, Jerome. Let's get that up. 50% of people really. We've heard a lot about this Fox poll that came out last week showing some real negative feelings towards Biden's management of the economy, certainly the border, so many of these issues. Biden's only winning and the Democrats on the abortion issue, really nothing else. But then there was this troubling thing. Could you do you have that, Jerome? Clip eight is a Fox poll, and one of the little tidbits within this absolutely just freaked me out. Although it's what I've been saying, I didn't want to believe it. I thought maybe I was just being hyperbolic. But you know, I've been saying we the people, as far as the large electorate, are not we the people listening to conservative talk radio, to listening to News Talk STL. And here's proof. Listen.
Now, I've spoke a lot. This is killing us and it's destroying our country. Everybody, it's affecting all of us in Butler County times the 3,300 counties in the United States. These people aren't doing anything and they're causing it. No matter, it don't matter who elected them, what they done. We've elected these people and they're not responsible is what they're telling us.
All right. That's a sheriff out of Ohio talking about public safety. There's another clip when the Fox poll, and we'll play that later. But I have to tell you, it is unbelievable how in this Fox News poll, 50% of Americans, 50% of us, I don't even know if I should call them fellow Americans. Are they really Americans? Maybe they're Russians. Maybe they're Venezuelans. Maybe they're Guatemalans. Perhaps they're Brits or Canadians. Latest Fox poll says 50% of people want government to help them. 50% want government to help them. I thought government's job was to get out of the way. I mean, it depends how you define help, but I would predict that that's not what they meant when they were saying to the pollster, we want government to help us. They want handouts. They want bailouts. They want support to have babies, Medicaid. They want support when they get old, Medicare. That's some of you. They want, of course, they want Social Security. Now, in there, you did pay into it. You deserve that back. They want government to make sure that they get their loans paid off. Loans that they duly took out, maybe should have thought about what they were going to do with that advanced course on, advanced pregnant person chest feeding studies. Perhaps they should have thought about that a little bit. No, but the government will come in. And that is because that's the base instinct of the human mind. Sorry to say, but it's true. And were it not for the tempering of the Judeo-Christian thoughts that curb our wildest, most sinful instincts, we tend to then realize that in response for the graciousness of a good and merciful God, that it is only right to try to curb our basic instincts. But since we no longer have recognition of a good and gracious and merciful God and an accountability at the same time, thankfulness for a higher power that creates and sustains us, then we become our own gods. And individually, and then sort of in this weird collective of individuals, hey, I want what I want. I'm going to vote for you if you give me what I want. I don't depend on the goodness of the Father and in turn try to then share that with other people. I will grab and plunder what I can because it's all about me. You see, this is what's reflected in a Fox News poll saying the government, meaning someone else, at the behest of my vote, is going to give me exactly what I want. It's unbelievable. Well, we got off on that rant. That's my bad. We will see what Mike Ferguson says about polls of 50% saying the government should help then. What he thinks about what's going on in the election, whether or not Donald Trump is going to name pretty soon or not a vice presidential candidate, and what he thinks of the impact of, I'm really curious. I haven't been able to listen to Mike's take on this. The impact of RFK and his recent VP choice on that. We'll see what Mike says when we come back in a little bit here on the Randy Tobler Show. Why don't we step aside and let's do that, okay? So let's step aside a little early, Jerome, and then we'll connect with Mike and we'll touch base with Mike Ferguson, the great Fergie. We'll call him the male version of Fergie, not the Fergie of age, but the male version of Fergie. We'll be back in just a minute.
The cult of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams.
The Randy Tobler Show. Big eclipse coming up on Monday. There's also some other neat stuff coming up on Monday. Actually, there's going to be a comet that's going to be making a splash on Monday and beyond. We won't be able to see as much as some people in other parts of the world, particularly the southern hemisphere. But during the eclipse, you might be able to see the Mother of Dragons comet. The Mother of Dragons comet. And no, I don't think they're talking about Dr. Jill Biden there. But no, I think it's a comet, actually. But maybe a furious one. But you should be able to see that apparently during the eclipse, although we don't know whether the weather's going to hold out for that or not. Trying to connect up with Mike here. Is Mike on here? Let's get in touch with him if we can. And we want to touch base with Mike Ferguson, host of course, the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show every morning here on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. You know, this is a time of great angst for many of us who are watching some of our core political and policy values and virtues in this country slip away. There are some signs of some hope. There are some hopeful moves. I see that some of the DEI programs and even departments are being disengaged and defunded, all the way from the University of Texas to over in Florida. And, you know, you're beginning to see some of those things where people, in fact, are going back to judging folks by the content of their character, the talent, the merits of their performance, rather than how they identify. And it's so important to acknowledge that that's ultimately where it's at. And it's not fair to people that just get elevated or get chosen or get admitted into a school because of their identity rather than their performance. I think we'd all say that that does them no favor when they later flame out when they really need to perform and they just haven't been equipped to because of their educational performance. Maybe they're in a better place in some other field, some other pursuit, some other vocation, some other direction of their life. Is Mike on the line, Jerome?
No, unfortunately, we're having a quick technical difficulty.
Why don't you just give him a buzz? Let's just get him on the phone. That's fine. So we're trying to connect him another way. Let's just get him on the phone. At some point, we're going to have to realize that at a time when America was the leader in thought, in technology, in productivity, in inventiveness, creativity, providing those engines of change in the world, we had a system that was working well. It was identifying people through objective means other than the color of their skin, the type of neighborhood they came from, their social identity, their sexual preference, their gender identity. It was performance and it was merit that ruled the day. Now we're getting to a place where even in medical schools, you can't even understand how some of these schools now have abandoned the MCATs, the medical college admissions test. And they're going rather on lived experience. And again, factoring in what many have said is going to be a dangerous trend towards admitting folks that really haven't shown that they have the proper toolkit to matriculate into and then succeed in medical school and beyond. Having been there and done that, I can tell you it's a bed of coals that you walk over as you go through med school and training. Even the training post medical school has gone very soft in terms of hours that both students, but especially residents, can work. And when it comes to medicine and when it comes to discernment of diagnosis and detective work that you do, trying to sort out what might be going on, it's experience and it's having to recall those various interesting presentations of cases that maybe didn't fit the pattern that you learned totally, but you have to use that experience quotient to do that. Well, now they limit the work hours of residents. So from the selection of people into medical school all the way to the training and the soft touch that people are given, it doesn't bode well for you and I as patients. Similarly, in other pursuits, I mean, whether you're in a tech industry, whether you're in a more cognitively oriented industry, as they soften the requirements for entrance, I'm not sure how does that translate to performance? I don't think it does. Well, we're having a hard time even on the phone connecting here with Mike. I guess he can't hear us as we talk to him, can't hear the stream. So we will try to continue to do that. And maybe we can get together with him at a later time. So as we move forward in the program here, I do want to mention we will have Steve Gorham, who will be on the phone at 7:10. At 7:45, Virginia Cruda will join us, as she always does. And at 8:25, Dr. Waleed Faris on the interesting goings on in the world of the Middle East. Things are heating up over there, and I am just frightened, like you can't imagine, that this thing is going to blow up. This tinderbox over in the Middle East that has been simmering, that has been brewing ever since Joe Biden's feckless withdrawal from Afghanistan, the basically abandonment of that Bagram Air Force Base, particularly, which I think was a tremendous strategic error. And people I know that know a lot more than I, people like Dakota Wood, like Steve Bucci, like others from Heritage, some of my insider friends who are connected to military folks say that was a tragic and strategic error of just seismic proportions. Why? Because we've lost our ability to keep our eye on what's going on in China. We've lost our ability, and again, it's not the Middle East, it's more of the Near East, our ability to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on in that area. Well, as we see Joe Biden now, because of political means and political reasons, essentially now not only waffling, but on Thursday on a phone call to Bibi Netanyahu, essentially tying further support through arms imports. I think a large part of arms imports into Israel come from the U.S. But the various ways of supports, he said, look, unless there's an immediate ceasefire, this is what it was reported, and it hasn't been refuted by the administration. Anonymous sources who were familiar with the call said that that Biden demanded from Bibi Netanyahu on Thursday an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and urged Netanyahu to empower negotiators to conclude a deal to bring Israeli hostages home. Well, don't you think that's what he's been trying to do, Joe? And instead of you backing him and bringing an end to the carnage that has gone on, there's no doubt about it. I mean, 7 civilian aid workers were mistakenly identified as terrorists and taken out by an airstrike from Israel in Gaza last week. And of course, that put a chilling effect on further aid to civilians in Gaza. But if you want it to end, Joe, just send a clear message to Hamas that they're responsible. They pulled the pin on this grenade on October 7th. They are the ones in turn who can decide to end it. All they need to do is just surrender, because, and they need to send a clear message. Joe Biden should actually be doubling down on support for Israel, because you don't want this to happen again, what happened on October 7th. And what had happened in a less overt and dramatic, and just in terms of numbers, a lower magnitude level, this has been going on in Israel for years, where there are just these random terrorist attacks on Israeli soil. And until Joe Biden and the rest of the West get together, like they're so full-throated behind Ukraine, a corrupt government at best. It's sad that the people there are tied with that corrupt government, and you feel sorry for the people. And I think that's the best argument to try to help to support Ukraine in their battle, is because, you know, in fact, the people there under Russian rule would be absolutely decimated and relegated to the bread-eating and vodka-slurping citizens that are the majority of the Russian public now under Putin's rule. But why is it that we're so...
I'll just keep talking here.
Lockstep okay. behind Ukraine when you can't in the same...
Hey, Jerome, send me your...
Step. I can hear Mike. Can he hear me now?
We're still Mike. Working on it. Forgive our intrudences.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing Mike, so we can pot him down so I can't hear him. But to get back to our support for Israel, it's absolutely essential that we double down, not back off, because of political pressure from pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protesters and donors and people in high places who are influencing Joe Biden. I mean, this guy is just as flexible as Gumby when it comes to his, he doesn't have a stance on anything. His stance is dictated by his political handlers and consultants and people within the White House who want to keep him there so they can continue to live in Arlington and D.C. and live in the posh suburbs and in and around D.C. and then eat at all the great places. There are great places to eat in D.C., no doubt. But they like that lifestyle. They want to keep the power. That's a human. That's a human trait. That's normal, right? When you get power, you want to keep it. Unless you have some internal curbs or you have some people that are your accountability buddies. I have those. You have those? I know. Most folks do. Most people I know, they have accountability buddies. One of mine is my wife. I have my daughters, my son. Yeah, they keep me honest. You know, when I get off rails, hey, Dad, reel it back in. And then there's callers. That's you guys, 314-912-1019. And there's texters and instant messengers and Facebook friends. But, I mean, look, with the Israeli strike on the Gazan aid workers, I mean, they were actually civilian aid workers. One of them was dual citizenship, I think, Israeli-American, or maybe they had dual citizenship with America and other country. When Israel now comes back and says, look, we are looking into this. They have looked into it. They are going to make the people, the soldiers who made that mistake, I guess they were airmen who made that mistake and targeted these people. Okay, they're doing that and they're adjusting. But that's the fog of war. That's what happens. This is a war. This isn't a little, you know, game of chess. This isn't backgammon that Israel's playing. For once and for all, they have to bring it to an end. And it's got to stop. And Joe Biden now is beginning to bend. In fact, he is not only bending, he's bending over for the Palestinian protesters. That's exactly what's happening here. And it's only going to embolden Hamas. And it's only going to embolden Hezbollah. It's only going to embolden Iran. And it's only going to embolden Putin. And it's only going to embolden Obrador, the president of Mexico, who's now extorting $20 million, or is it $20 billion a year in return for some Mexican side of the border security. Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies was reporting last week that there were peculiar things going on in Juarez. Those peculiar things were the arrival of transport vans, the small vans, not full bus size transport vehicles, but vans that would hold, you know, one of those like a shuttle bus from the airport. One by one by one, these vans, vehicles were floating into Juarez containing what? Mexican immigration agents. This was shortly after that meeting with Blinken and others with President Obrador of Mexico, who's no friend of America. He's no friend of America. He basically wanted to extort. You pay me $20 billion a year, and we'll make sure that we get security there. Guess what? It wasn't publicly announced that America had caved. But why do you think in the wake of that meeting, a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden, there seems to be a little more security on the Mexican side of the border? Wonder why that would be. Why they would be taking your tax dollars, my tax dollars, just a week or so before the tax deadline, when we have to pay Uncle Sam, and taking those dollars and giving it to Mexico so that they can do what they should have been doing, which is honoring sovereign borders, not encouraging and enabling those caravans to come up from Central America. And by the way, dumping in a ever increasing proportion of Chinese, and of course, continuing to funnel Mexicans who want to go and work and play and live in Americans and kill Americans, by the way, in cold blood. We've seen that over and over and over again. It is just the travesty that is the current American regime, and to some extent every American regime recently, fueled by the worst mistake ever made in American history. I think I can say that. I think I can say that unqualifiedly. The worst mistake ever in American history was the passage of the income tax back in the early 1900s. Why? Because it suddenly gave politicians money to buy votes with. And you can see it's all now he's going to indirectly buy votes, Joe Biden, because he's going to pay off Obrador's extortionist demands in Mexico to get a little tighter border. You'll see he'll do some things on our side of the border. Use Americans' tax dollars to pay back some student debts. Now that the students are getting more engaged, they become of age, they know that their voice is more important in the voting block. So on that front, he's covering that. Oh, by the way, a couple of years ago, you drained the strategic oil reserve and to give us a little relief temporarily after the start of Putin's war. and the unenforceable sanctions that he then imposed. Let's see what. Oh, and now he wants to pause on the replenishment of the strategic oil reserve because it's going to cost Americans. But he had the unbelievable hubris to try to tell us during that pause the strategic oil reserve replenishment speech, he's going to do it at a time when Americans will actually make money on it. Joe, excuse me, how's that going to work out? Oil's at $90 a barrel. The analysts and the experts are predicting $100 by summer. Thanks, Joe. Appreciating everything you've done for us, man. You're killing us. You're literally killing us. $100 of groceries now cost $136. It's unbelievable. Do we have Mike on the phone? Can we spend a couple minutes with him?
So I think what the plan is, if we have time after the break.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a break. Let's step aside, see if we can get Mike on the phone for a little conversation after this. Having a couple technical difficulties, that's what happens when we depend on tech. Maybe we should go back and build some Heath kit. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, you know, you love the tech because it enables us to talk to you from around the globe and on a moment's notice by pushing a few buttons. It's a beautiful thing. Just a little trouble this morning. We'll get it fixed. We'll be back on the Randy Tober Show. Stay there.
Hey, it looks like you like to get up early. So Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9. Mike Ferguson here. And you are listening to the Randy Tober Show right here on News Talk STL.
Before we did a three-way matchup, and here it is with RFK in the race. Biden now only has 38 points. Trump has 44 points, still a six-point lead. But Kennedy has 10 points. That's actually down from 12 points that he had in December. I hear a lot that Kennedy is really hurting Biden most, but in our numbers, that just really isn't holding up.
Well, that's the chief pollster with Rasmussen Polls, who, unlike a lot of other pollsters, actually looks at likely voters, not just registered voters. That, among others, is a reason that I think people look at them. Mike Ferguson from Mike Ferguson in the Morning joins us now. I think we've got Mike on the line. Are we good, Mike?
I think so. Are you listening?
I think, we've got you there. Hey, so I'm just curious what you think about the polling that seems to be, I think the vast majority of polls seem to be indicating that, especially in the swing states, you know, there's a substantial, six out of seven outside the margin of error advantage for Donald Trump at this time. But that actually gets trimmed a little bit when, at least in this poll, when RFK is put in there. Let's talk about a little pole dancing with Mike Ferguson this morning. How you like to do some pole dancing for us, Mike?
Well, I need to trim down just a little bit. I'm not what I used to be when I was younger, but you know. So one of the things to keep in mind when you're talking about the polls right now is that there's a lot of people who will tell a pollster that you better believe it. I can't stand both parties or both candidates and I'm going to vote for a third party or whatever. But when they get into a polling place at on election day in a swing state, history tells us they don't pull the trigger nearly as easily as they say that they would. I'm still not convinced RFK Jr. is going to be that relevant to the election, but he's certainly relevant to the polls. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, I think for a while going into the pre-VP choice that he made, you know, who by all measures is clearly a progressive, right? I mean, there was no gilding the lily on that one, no fence walking on that one. I thought maybe he was going to draw a little bit equally from each side because there's a lot of people on the right that like his rebellious, you know, anti-vaccine, you know, he's got a lot of stances that I think appeal to people, anti-mask mandate, and turned out to be in many cases right. But I think that maybe, I think, turned the tide a little bit into what I think, despite this poll, when I talk to people, they think that he's going to steal more from Biden if he does at all.
Yeah, that would be my guess. But don't underestimate, like you said, that rebellious aspect of it, because there are people who have soured on Donald Trump over the last several months. But I think that with somebody like Robert F. Kennedy, here's the thing, is that the left tends to circle the wagons better than the right. They will hold their nose and vote for somebody they don't like more than the right will. I do think that RFK Jr. is appealing more to the people on the left, especially as he tries to push farther to the left. But the opportunity here for Donald Trump, because he's really not that conservative himself, he's more of a populist, in my opinion, is that if he picks a vice president, vice presidential running mate who's really conservative, I think he can make sure he solidifies some of those bridges into the conservative activist and try to shore that up. But, you know, if he picks another moderate, or, you know, we've heard terms like, you know, names like Tulsi Gabbard and some of those, I think that could really bite Donald Trump. But, you know, right now, the bottom line is that when people go to vote, they vote for the top of the ticket more than they do the vice presidential line.
So, Mike, as we read the tea leaves, let's look at what happened in the local elections, the school board elections. A baker's dozen of conservative candidates, including the likes of Adriana Kuhn and Sam Goodman out there in Francis Howell and others. Surprisingly, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like on the wake of what happened with Governor Youngkin and how he soared to the governor's mansion in Virginia, you know, on the wings of education reform and getting, you know, DEI and CRT out of the schools. Okay, I mean, 13 conservative local school board candidates lost. We see every time there's an IP initiative or some similar initiative in the various red states, Kansas, Ohio, others, I think six times now we've seen that, you know, conservative pro-life legislation has been undone by worse pro-abortion initiatives. We see what happened at the local level. We see the Fox News poll I cited last segment, that 50% of Americans say that, you know, they want to know what the government's going to do to help them. Is conservatism in trouble, Mike? Conservatism, small government, get the government out of my face. Is progressivism winning?
I really am glad you asked that question. I think at the very least, conservatism in America on the national level is on hold right now. The Republican Party is the vanguard of conservatism, unfortunately, and they really can't be trusted with it. And the reality is that right now there aren't any conservatives running for president right now on the major party tickets. I think that when you look at, for instance, the school board races, not even just here in St. Louis, you know, across the country, the NEA-backed candidates won like 83% of the time. And the only reason it wasn't bigger than that is because of what happened in Texas, where so many of the pro-school choice candidates came out on top. The reality is that we were right. You know, 2022, there were, 2021 and 2023 school board races. There was a culture war going on where the left had crossed the line. And there are some people who are saying they're growing weary of it. But the reality is the establishment has stiffened up. And they have really come back hard. And so the reality is that unless the conservative movement reassesses who we are and what we're going to do and what we stand for, what are we conserving, and we stop trying to play populist games, I think the conservative movement is at risk of being in a lot of trouble. But at the very least on the national level, like I said, I think the conservative movement is on hold right now. And I think that's a very dangerous thing.
It's on hold and it's a dangerous thing, but I guess it sort of begs the question, if the American people and culturally are not on the same wavelength as the true conservatives, does the message need to be repackaged? Or, as I was talking, I think with Tony, it was with Tony and Katie the other evening, maybe is it time for us to look at ourselves? And I was talking in a realm I know very well. Should conservative women who are pro-life ask their doctor, do you do abortions? Are you pro-abortion? Because I'm going to find a pro-life doctor who isn't. Mr. Businessman or businesswoman, do you buy into DEI? Because I'm not going to do business with you. I mean, is it going to come down to a cultural war on the streets, if you will? I mean, I don't mean physically, but I mean just in terms of the personal choices, because it seems like politically that message just isn't hitting home. American public.
I think that's part of it. I mean, we have to live our principles. You know, we tend to think of everything in terms of elections and politics and bills and lobbying. But remember that the conservative movement is so much bigger than politics. It's also how we live our lives. It's how we rear our children. You know, I had a friend of mine who was pretty much a radical libertarian named Michael Badnarik years ago. And Michael was really out there. But he said one thing that always stuck with me over the years, and Michael died a number of years ago. He said that his mission was to light the fires of liberty one heart at a time. And I thought that was always a great approach. So while elections are matter, they matter and they're crucial, and organizing and getting involved at the precinct level all the way up, these are things that conservatives need to be doing, but we also need to be reaching people on a heart and mind level. And a political consultant will tell you that's just impractical. It's all mass marketing and mass messaging, but unless there's something real on a heart-to-heart level, we don't shift the momentum or keep the momentum, you know, going our way. Because right now, the messaging for Donald Trump is basically two things: things were better when he was president economically, and Joe Biden really sucks. That's really all he's got. There's nothing that people can buy into the way that, you know, they did with Ronald Reagan. You know, the way that the left did with Barack Obama. I mean, there are people who support him as a figure, and it's a movement. He's a movement leader, but when it comes to an actual conservatism, he's not the guy. And what conservatives are being told is, but he's better than the other guy, so just put your principles on hold right now. And so I think that's where conservatives need to say, listen, this is a holistic thing, and we better be serious, like you said, about living out our principles. Now, I can't keep track of everybody I'm supposed to not do business with because everybody's on the left, it seems like. But there needs to be lines in the sand, and it's got to be more than just, I'm going to cancel you. It's got to be a matter of, here's why this matters. I mean, we've got so much evidence for why we're right and why we make lives better for people and why people flourish when conservative principles are in place, and we're not selling that well. So I don't think our principles need to change. I do think our messaging needs to change, but I also think our tactics need to change, and that we need to get out there and be speaking to people on a one-on-one basis and in our small group settings like our churches and workplaces, and we need to set examples more than just win wars of words.
Man, I couldn't agree with you more. And I guess we only have a minute left here, Mike. But, you know, that's why I keep beating that drum. If you're a MAGA person, if you're a Trump world guy, and I'm not total MAGA. I mean, I really like a lot of the principles. But as you said, he's a popular. At a minimum, people who send in $5 need to, along with that, send a message to Donald Trump. Hey, conduct yourself like a statesman. Conduct yourself like someone I want my child to aspire to. Stop the use of foul language up on the stump. That would be a start, wouldn't it, Mike? Got 30 seconds.
I think it would be a start. And of course, there's a lot of MAGA people who are listening and listen to my show every day. And one of the things they love about Donald Trump is that he's vulgar, and he's been the president. We've seen that he can, you know, do that job. So I do think that his legacy, if you tell him his legacy should be more of a statesman, I would love to see more of that should he win. So I think you're right.
Yeah, well, and again, I mean, I think that that's what's refreshing about him is that he does say what he believes. But, you know, I think he should be held to a little higher standard. Mike, thanks so much. Sorry for the tech problems. I really appreciate the time. Let's spend a little more next time.
You got it. Those gremlins aren't going to stop us, man.
All right. There he is, Mike Ferguson. Mike Ferguson in the morning on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1 every morning. We'll be back and talk a little climate change with Steve Gorham. Stay tuned.
Republican Party is the vanguard of conservatism, unfortunately, and they really can't be trusted with it.